good morning, everybody, or afternoon, or evening, whenever you listen to this. Thanks for joining us again. Sorry that we missed you last week. Jay and I took a little week off as our children restarted school, but we're back this week, and we have a dandy for you. We went to Cannonball Creek. We sat down with Jason Stengel and Brian Hutchinson, the two founders, and we talked shop. And we talked history, we talked about what they're doing and their success and the fact that they're a rather well-known maker of hoppy beers. And so what does that mean for them? What are they trying to do now? How have they been impacted by COVID? All those great things that we've been talking about for too many months and many more. But it was great to get out of the house and to shoot the shit with those two. And I think you'll enjoy it. So thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for the continued support. And hope you enjoy the episode with Cannonball Creek. This episode is brought to you by Elon Naturals. Handcrafted in Boulder, Colorado, Elon's all-natural products are made with CBD extracted from Colorado-certified hemp. Ryan and Alec Nyberg, good friends of ours, founders and co-owners of Elon, as well as big supporters of craft beer, including being supporters of the Sip Beer Fest we did earlier this year, use no toxins, no chemicals, and only certified organic ingredients in everything that they make. Whether you're looking for bath bombs, foot soaks, lip balms, pain sticks, or tinctures, Elon has you covered, and they make pet products too. Find Elon Naturals on Instagram and Facebook, and place your order now at elonnaturals.com. When you do, plug in the promo code UNFILTERED20 at checkout for 20% off your order. Again, that's UNFILTERED20, plug it in at checkout at elonnaturals.com for 20% off your order. This episode is also brought to you by RoofTech Precision Exteriors. Founded by a fourth-generation roofing expert and two veteran general contractors, RoofTech combines unmatched residential and commercial roofing knowledge with project management excellence, which means your next roofing project will not only be handled by those that know what they're doing, but know how to complete your project without wasting your time. Find RoofTech on Instagram and Facebook and learn more at RoofTechCo.com. That's RoofTechCo.com. And when you schedule your roof replacement project, mention Unfiltered and receive a free upgrade to impact-resistant Class 4 shingles. I have no idea what that means, but it sounds like it's a hell of a deal. Again, that's RoofTechCo.com. Shake it, shake it, sugary.
Just don't tell them that you know. Let me ask you two, since we're kind of talking about business. Cannonball Creek, we'll let these two introduce themselves in a second. How have things been, though, over the last 3 to 4 months? Let's just go there.
I mean, since we were able to reopen for on-site consumption,
yeah,
we've been able to manage. It's been sustainable. It's different, of course. Obviously, we're trying to follow all the state and CDC guidelines,
right,
which results in us having to have less people here inside the tasting room.
Okay.
But obviously we've been able to have our temporary modification of premise and get some seats out in the parking lot and be able to put seats out on our normal patio out here.
But this, the food trucks were kind of always here, right? That's always where they parked.
We've always done the food truck model.
Right
there. Yep.
But did you have seating over there previously?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so we've reduced our seating inside and increased it by offering that kind of second patio. I think we've been doing kind of as well as everybody else, you know, which is not quite as well as we would be doing normally, but welcome to this shitstorm that we're all in. So it's not, it hasn't been terrible by any means. I mean, I'm pretty happy actually with the way that we've been able to manage. Biggest thing is we pay more people who make less money in tips to do the same thing that we were doing before to serve less customers. So it's not a great math problem by any means, but it's the same one everybody's suffering. So,
yeah, because we basically changed our business model. Yeah. We used to have two bartenders behind the bar and everybody would come up to get beers. Yeah. Now we have a host, seating people, doing table service. Yeah. So it literally has changed the business model. It's more of a restaurant model without serving food.
And that seems to be a common, I don't want to say complaint or concern, but
it's a common reaction, right?
Common pain in the ass.
Sure,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. That's I was going to say irritation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the fact that you have to, who was telling us Spice Trade, like they were set to go with bartenders and they basically had to rehire an entire staff and retrain from just having bartenders and food runners to, no, you got to take an order and you got to be smart enough to disinfect a table when you're finished and all of that. And let's face it, not everybody can handle that. So
right.
I know I couldn't handle it.
Before we go any further, who the fuck are you two? Can you introduce us?
As I said, F-bombs totally yourself. Allowed as evidenced by my...
I'm Brian fucking Hutchinson.
There we go.
co-owner, Jason and I own the place. I am the head brewer and kind of manage the brewery side of everything. And
I'm Jason B. Stengel.
Jason B. Stengel.
Love
I'm
it.
I'm taking on the GM grown model.
Okay.
Or position.
Role.
Role.
Whatever it is.
Something.
Yeah, him and I met many years ago working at Mountain Sun,
okay.
where we brewed together.
Okay. Nice.
So I used to brew, but him and Jonathan, who you saw earlier, was they've taken over the brewery operations, and I help manage everything else, basically.
Okay. You're the venerated elder of the Cannonball Creek?
I am, yes.
Right. He does all the
officially
annoying shit,
last
too.
Week,
pays all
yeah.
the bills.
I was going to say, yeah.
He handles all the... He does a lot. Yeah.
The dumb stuff. HR.
What I try to do, literally, because of... his talents is let him and Jonathan make the beer
and lack thereof.
Literally,
by the
yeah.
way,
that's what I want them to do, and I try to do everything else.
Awesome.
You know?
Not to belittle any of the other golden breweries because there are some great ones, but you and your brewery, I think, have gained a cult status as making some of the best bitter beers, IPAs, APAs, American IPAs in the state. We'll talk about this beer here in a second and what you're doing now, but. Tell us the story of getting into that, getting here, getting into Golden, and then what's the address, and then answer the rest of my questions.
Yeah, where are we again?
Yeah. What's the address?
So we're at 393 North Washington Avenue, Golden, Colorado.
Right by the 7-Eleven.
80403.
Located across the street from 7-Eleven, across the parking lot.
We are in the same parking lot.
And as far as I can tell, this is the only place where you'll get the best beer you will ever drink in a 7-Eleven parking lot.
That's what the shirt says.
Some dude on Yelp.
That's fucking smart. Is that what it good. Says? Some dude on Yelp?
Yeah, because it's true. Yeah.
Is that legit?
Yeah. It's 100% true.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
so
hilarious.
Some guy left that review on Yelp, but that was years ago, and we went back to try to find it, and we couldn't find it.
Oh.
And so we searched Yelp, Google, and everything like that, because we wanted to give the guy credit and put him on the back of the shirt. But just some dude on Yelp. I don't know his name.
Nobody's ever owned up to it, huh?
Exactly.
Damn.
Well, so it was there, though. It was a real review. Yeah.
The shirts came about because in January we celebrated 7 years.
Okay.
So we just kind of used.
See what we did there?
Yeah, that logo looks pretty close.
I mean, kind of, you know.
I know that two 7-Eleven employees have bought that shirt, though. So.
Oh, are they wearing it for work?
Sometimes, yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Yep.
So you're at Mountain Sun. You guys meet each other there. Let's go back to that moment. Let's go back to the decision to open this place up. How does this unfold?
I'll take it, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. We just had a pretty good rapport at Mountain Sun. He actually trained me. I went there as an entry-level brewing position, which was really just driving a truck and delivering
kegs
between the multiple locations or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he trained me on how to do that at Mountain Sun. And, I mean, I don't know how long we worked together, probably at least 5-6 years, right?
At Mountain Sun?
Yeah.
We worked together there for at least 6 years.
Yeah.
But it wasn't more than a year and a half until we started talking about actually trying to do our own thing.
Yeah, we just connected personally, and then it just became
right
a thing,
away.
Like, hey, we should, you know, do our own thing. And so we'd actually, I think our initial meetings were at Golden City Brewery downtown here.
Okay.
We'd sit out there on the patio and just, or in the beer garden and start taking notes and figuring out what the hell we need to do to open a business, which took a lot longer, like everybody else says, than you think it would. And
were you trading each other's beers? So much of the stories that we get, they're home brewers. They're making beer in the closet. Obviously, you guys had surpassed. You'd gone past that point by then. So, were you making batches at Mountain Sun and sharing with each other? Were you experimenting and then saying, "Oh, we can do this"? Like, you got to make good beer.
Stealing ingredients and
no,
recipes.
Not at all, man. I mean, to be honest, like we kind of knew we could do it anyway, and
just
so we were making the Mountain Sun beers the way that Mountain Sun wanted the beers to be made and the way that made sense for them to be made there.
Yeah.
And as by the time I had left, I was kind of director of brewing operations for all their locations. And honestly, I just wanted to do, I wanted to do something a little bit different, you know, and I was trying to make the beers there that made the most sense for their business model. And then as we knew this was going to happen, we started doing small batches at his house, playing with our own recipe ideas that were completely unique. I'm not a fan of, I don't know, just as a brewer, like, it doesn't interest me at all to make a beer that I've already made somewhere else and call it my own beer. I don't know.
It sounds like the CB and Potts model at Mountain Sun a little bit, where they're, you know, like, you walk in and you can get pretty much the same beer in every location. They follow more or less the same guidelines.
Yeah, I mean, especially nowadays, you know, honestly, I'm not sure. I know they make a bunch of interesting creative beers still, okay. But I also know that they've really changed their model as they've opened up more places, so I can't really comment on that. We still got to do a lot of cool, interesting stuff there while we were there. But I just knew, like, everything I wanted to do that was different than that place, just from a beer-making perspective. And that was just my own kind of personal passion or whatever. So.
What's your relationship to beer, I guess, even before that? How did you two get into drinking good beer?
Are you going to ask the question?
What was your first craft beer?
Honestly, I would say my first craft beer was literally at GCB, Golden City Brewery.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
So the reason I ended up in Colorado is that my eventual wife came and went to Colorado School of Mines.
Okay. Followed a girl to Colorado.
Totally did. Yeah. From the Twin Cities. It was much nicer here. So
Which suburb or which city?
St. Paul. I went to Concordia College in St. Paul. Okay. Well, it was Concordia College. Now it's Concordia University.
Yeah. I'm an Iowa kid, so I spent a lot of time playing football games.
So, yeah, I mean, GCB was my first actual craft beer. I drank a lot of beer before that, but that was about the time when I started understanding there was more than, you know, Old Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Midwest beer.
I grew up in Wisconsin, so.
Well, I guess we've already covered how old we are.
We like to timestamp this in a totally different way.
First craft beer was sadly probably, you know, like Pete's Wicked Ale or Sam Adams, even if you count that, which probably should. I remember, you know, being in college and, you know, drinking a Killian's Red and finding that interesting, even though it's not craft beer.
Right.
And then progressing from there to like more like English ales and stuff. And then, so I was kind of hooked like right away.
Okay.
And, started homebrewing, and that's what kind of led me to – I was working in the mental health field, and we would all go to Old Chicago's after work at, you know, 10 o'clock at night or whatever, and they were doing the World Beer Tour thing. There's all these cool, interesting beers. So that kind of kept me going, and that turned into me homebrewing, and then the rest is history, I guess.
Where'd you go to school then?
Virginia Tech.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you had mentioned to Jay before we started, you're from the East Coast.
Yeah,
so
he's a Hokie, apparently. I did not realize that.
That is true.
Wow,
yeah.
Holy shit. That
you know
is
what a Hokie is, right?
I know what the mascot looks like. I don't exactly know what
it's
a Hokie is.
It's a goddamn fighting gobbler. Don't say turkey. It's a fighting gobbler.
It's a fighting gobbler.
Yeah.
It's a very masculine gobbler.
Dad's transcripts from VT. Which is at the time it was Virginia Polytechnical University. But
your dad went there?
No, my dad's dad.
Your dad's dad.
Yeah, not my dad. Okay. No, my dad's dad. We still have the blueprint of his first semester transcripts.
Nice.
So we're gobbler all the way.
Nice.
So you're two guys not from Colorado who tried to get out here to Colorado, and now you're making beer in the beer state. So congrats.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
It's pretty impressive.
I moved out here in 95.
I was going
to
say, they fucking earned
that,
it.
Right?
No, I moved out in 97.
Yeah. So pretty much my whole adult life, I've been in this state. Certainly, I guess I knew a little bit about beer, but not very much.
No, honestly, when I got the job at Mountain Sun, I knew nothing about beer besides the beers that I like to drink.
How'd you get the job?
I literally didn't know what hops were. I didn't know how.
Wait, how did you get the job? This must have been one hell of an interview.
The second interview was very interesting.
Okay. We got to hear the story.
First one, fake it till you make it. Second one's where they really start peeling back the layers, huh?
So the position they were looking to fill was what Brian said earlier, is truck duty.
Okay.
Mountain Sun was beginning to expand at that point.
All right.
They had the downtown location on Pearl Street. They had just opened Southern Sun about 6 months before I got hired originally. And the position they were looking for was like truck driver warehouse guy, which I had experience from that or in that industry beforehand.
Okay.
And that's how, I mean,
what
I
kind of truck did you drive
they
before
didn't really
this?
Want a brewer, I think.
They
you know
weren't
what I mean?
Looking
they wanted
for a
some dude
that
knew how to drive a truck and could manage a warehouse.
Well, they had Mountain Sun and they opened Southern Sun and then they had a separate off-site storage facility with a cooler and where all the grain and everything was. So it became a job where somebody had to go between each location every day to just help the place function.
So you're just driving truck all day.
I had truck driving experience.
And lifting
and
more kegs than you could possibly imagine.
Bags and lifting kegs.
20 pounds lost in my first month doing that job.
Like never to be regained from the looks of it.
Yeah. He's that now.
Skinniest brewer.
Now?
It's gone on and off, trust me.
Yeah.
Come back in 3 months, I'll be fat.
So will I. Don't worry about it.
So you have, okay, so that's your entry into beer. That's
yeah, I was one, I'm one of the few people I've talked to in this industry that, I mean, I didn't know what home brewing was when I got the job at okay. Mountain Sun.
Was that not a thing in Minnesota? Or I guess it wasn't in Iowa.
I grew up in Wisconsin, and no, we didn't homebrew. We went to the bar.
Yeah, you go to the bar.
They could drink when it we like, were like 15, 11, yeah, right? You know, yeah, I mean, so, like 3-2 beer was easily obtained.
Where in Wisconsin? Now I got to ask that.
I mean, literally north central Wisconsin. I grew up about, my house was about a mile from the UP border in a little town called Presque Isle.
Presque Isle. Yeah. Do you hear that, James? Jay, you hear this? Not you. We got a fan from the. He's an upper.
He's from. Yeah, he's an upper.
Yeah, he's a youper. Sorry, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, he's now he's gonna text me. Like,
yeah, you got that wrong.
A youper.
Usually, let us know where he's from.
So, a Packers fan?
No.
No, don't care about football.
Here we go.
Raiders.
Oh no! Did we just become best friends?
Boom! That's Las team. Vegas.
You guys are gonna go to the garage and do karate. Yeah. There you
go. I just—that's the first human I've touched that's not directly related to the people in my house, and I don't know how long. Yeah,
it felt nice, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It actually a hand wash was.
Well,
awesome.
I mean,
high five was awesome.
Your employee was talking about the glory hole, situation here in Golden. So
that's not official.
I'm not exactly sure what he was talking about. Okay.
Black hole, glory hole, two different things.
Yeah, those are two different things.
There we go. There,
Sam,
okay.
Those are two different things.
All right. Sorry, Jay. I have not let you talk.
That's all right. I'm drinking beer. I don't ever have questions.
Good.
What attracted you to the Raiders? I just got to know.
Just very quickly, I was born in Chicago.
Okay.
Moved up to northern Wisconsin as a 5-year-old with my family, whatever. Packers, that was one of the few times in their history that they weren't very good. So as a little kid, I didn't want to be a Bears fan. I didn't want to be a Packers fan. And the Raiders used to be good. So that's when I jumped on. When they were the first Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
And then my whole schooling, they were the Los Angeles Raiders. And then back to Oakland. And now...
Excellent. So my old man, same story, right? Like grew up on the East Coast. Patriots were no good at the time. There's nobody else to root for. The only people on TV were the Raiders that were actually winning football games. And
right.
Boom. Here it is, 3 generations later, two and a half.
We're shitty.
I can't convince a single fucking
shitty.
Kid in my house. Yeah, I get excited every year, but
on the upline.
Yeah,
You almost won a Super Bowl, right? In the 90s? Or it was 2000? When did that happen?
We broke into
the
zeros.
When was Rich Gannon?
Yeah.
When
Rich
was that,
Gannon.
That one
they
year?
Call that the tuck rule. It's called the fuck rule.
Oh, that's what it was. See?
I didn't know we were going to be talking about the tuck rule
I am
during
so
this podcast.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're getting upset, aren't you? Get a little bitter?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know how it feels.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, after this, you guys can have beers and talk
it's
further.
It's a good thing I have a hard cutoff, so...
Why did you decide on once you decided to spread your wings from Mountain Sun and try your own run at this? Why Golden and why here?
Golden because we had both lived here for quite a while. Jason had lived here previously and owned a house in the same neighborhood that we both currently own houses and live in.
Okay.
But he had moved off to Thornton. I had since been in Golden for 10 years probably before we opened this place, maybe 8. So it was an attractive place to put down some roots, it still is a beautiful city and a wonderful place to live, but especially back then it was just very, kind of had the nice mix of small town and like just enough things going on to keep it kind of interesting and entertaining. It's gotten quite a bit more expensive now and that would exclude us probably from having done that, at least from having lived here back then. But then it was affordable, and it was just kind of that like outskirts little foothills town that wasn't Boulder and didn't carry with it all the things that aren't attractive to me personally about Boulder. Sorry, everybody.
No, you're good.
I loved
little,
working there.
Little
but,
baggage
but,
that comes with
but
Boulder.
But not where I wanted to sit down and like raise my family, I guess. Yeah.
If you could describe Golden in a sentence or two, what would you say? Because, I mean, people listen to this from across the country, and they think Denver. But Golden's so different from Denver, but it's different than Breckenridge and different than Boulder, and it's a different place. Why do people love it here so much? My in-laws included.
Jason Stengel.
I mean, being from the Midwest, my first thought would be the climate out here, honestly. I mean, it's beautiful here.
Right.
The weather is fantastic. Golden is a tourist town. I mean, it really is. And, of course, we have our brewery brethren at Coors to thank for that in part. I mean, people come from all over the world to go do that Coors brewery tour, besides the besides the foothills and the entry to the west. And I mean,
having thought about it, I would say kind of like best of all, like easy, accessible worlds of living in like almost a mountain town, right, but still being able to quickly get to Denver, you know, quickly pretty much go anywhere. You know what I mean? You can get up I-70 like that. You can be in up in Boulder in a matter of 25 minutes. Yeah. So you're kind of like planted in this position where you get kind of the best of all that, you know, anything besides very rural Colorado has to offer.
Makes sense.
Yeah. What about, my perception is Golden probably has like one of the highest concentrations per capita of brewers or breweries, right? I mean,
you guys
were maybe ahead of the curve at 7 years ago, right? But you still had, well, Coors. And then...
And GCB.
Mountain Toad was nope. that? No, Mountain Toad. We were ahead of Mountain Toad. Okay, yeah, so you said Golden City, the second oldest brewery, right, in Golden?
Right.
Second largest.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's currently true.
Yeah, I wouldn't guess that.
That was
anymore.
Their slogan, yeah.
And so you guys were third, and now what are we looking at, six?
No, I think it's like nine.
Nine, holy shit.
Nine breweries have Golden addresses, I believe.
And to be
Coda, you've got Barrels.
Oh, Coda, I forgot about Coda.
Coda, there's a new Barrels and Bottles, so that's actually 10.
If you count two locations, that gets complicated.
No, we're not going to give them credit for two.
But you got New Terrain. You've got...
Oh, yeah.
We love New Terrain.
Yeah, Mountain Toad, like you said.
Hollow Daily.
Right? Are the industry's hottest brewer, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
I just going to say it. We're here.
Yeah,
we're close. Maybe she'll swing by.
I'm super happy for Karen and those guys and what they're doing.
You've got Ohm, which is
address. Those are the guys.
So there's
over
basically not. I think there's nine, maybe ten, and all good people. We were like the second craft brewery, but honestly, like Mountain Toad was five steps after. Like I mean, they were literally
something
like 6 months
right
after
on your heels.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know, we were kind of. A little bit before everybody else, but there might have been some luck involved in that, too. I don't know.
What about this spot? I mean, you guys are as close to a 7-Eleven as a brewery I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's a weird spot.
No, I told you before we got started, I remember stealing a inflatable raft out of this place many, many years ago while I was still in college when it was Alpenglow.
Yep.
It seems kind of an unlikely spot, especially given the history of breweries in Colorado.
Completely. And honestly, I'll give Jason the credit for this spot because I was really concerned when we were starting to look at this property that wasn't in downtown Golden. But we were also really naive. We were both just like, or at least I was. I don't know. I was thinking, well, we can't be just three blocks from Golden City Brewery. Like, that's way too close. We can't just, like, be right next to this other crap brewery.
Right.
Well, how we known what was going to happen? I mean, oh, my God. We're all stepping on each other's toes now. So part of it was just, like, let's separate ourselves a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And the risky part of it was, like, we're on the north side of town, which nothing was really happening up here at the time. But Jason was kind of the pragmatic one. It was like, well, look at the highway access right here. Like, look at who's passing by. Look at how big the spot is. And I'm very happy that he had that mentality because I was a little concerned about it, but it's definitely proven to be a very good location.
Yeah, truth be told, I've driven by 1,000 times, and this is no shit. Sam probably doesn't know this. I'm always embarrassed. It's my first time in. I'd like to have been into a brewery before. I was called out because I had an empty beer, so I'm going to try the Strat Boy if you guys have one, please. Thank you.
You'll enjoy that.
Yeah,
it's a good choice.
Hoppy Pilsner. I like the sound of that. But, you guys have great visibility. I've probably caused more near-death accidents on 93 right here just going, fuck, why am I not pulling over?
Right.
When you opened, was this development here? Were the house? Okay, so you.
These guys were here, yeah.
So you could see that.
Those guys were here,
yep. You could see the bike paths. You kind of.
Yeah.
What gave you the confidence, I guess, to think that we can get a lot of foot traffic, we can get a lot of people coming in here to do that, a lot of bikers. It's not exactly like New Terrain, but it's very similar in the sense that, you know, people are going to be here, right? There's just going to be bodies in this space.
Yeah, I mean.
You just felt good about it.
I mean, that's what it was. Like you said, it was, we got Highway 93 right here. We get very significant ski traffic during the winters from Boulder. I mean, anybody that's
the only way to I-70, really.
They have to come through here.
I've never even thought about that.
Yeah.
It's the only way home.
Hikers.
It's the only way home to Boulder at the end of the day.
You have North Table Mountain Park right over here. Obviously, Golden Gate Canyon right here. I mean, it's just... And again, all these these were established neighborhoods already at that time.
So you're good.
So, well, and it's grown since then.
Exponentially.
Just north of here, like where him and I both live. our little 70s neighborhood is just surrounded by
new build, I mean, and
very expensive
huge
houses.
Places,
yeah.
Huge expensive properties, you know.
What are your thoughts on that, guys who have been in Golden for a while? I mean, again, is it a good thing? Is it growing pains?
I mean, I understand why people want to be here.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that there's people here.
Yeah.
At some point, there's got to be some balance between how many can fit in a small spot. But yeah. I totally understand why people want to be out
and,
here.
And to maintain the identity of a small town is difficult when there's that much growth.
I'll get one after.
There's a sticker that somebody locally produced. It says, "Don't boulder my golden." I'm not going to say that embodies all of my feelings, but it definitely I can relate to that on some level. That when you have more money and more people kind of crash into a little tiny place at one point in time, there's definitely going to be some struggle with that.
Yeah.
But I'm a business owner too, man. I'm not going to complain that, you know, we've got more people that are going to come here and drink our beer either. So it's kind of about how it gets managed, I think.
What do you guys just estimate, or maybe you know right down to the demographic, but what's your biggest target up here? What's your biggest bubble of clientele? Is it middle-aged and baby boomers that can afford to live here full-time and move here newer, or is it college students and ski bums that can't quite afford Breckenridge and Vail, or is it just anybody that likes good fucking beer and Golden?
It's more so the former, but with a mix of everything, you know? Okay. I mean, we definitely have... I mean, I would honestly say it's people kind of our age, like people between 40 and 50 years old that have gotten somewhat secure financially. That's probably...
Is that what happens when you turn 40?
Because
I'm
going to
be
lucky.
40 in January.
Yeah.
But we have yeah. families here. We have people that come with their kids, and pre-COVID-19 regulations and whatever, I mean, we'd have kids running around here.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, families are a big part of our longtime clientele that live over here across
yeah.
the street and up here behind us and just down in Golden and in our neighborhoods. And
the foundation of my 12 years of marriage is beer and a beer establishment that welcomes children. So
sure.
I can appreciate that. And actually, you know, we've done our part, frankly, to support the beer establishments that are continuing to be welcoming currently to children. I was trying to remember, I was someplace just the other day that was actually indicating specifically no kids, which
well,
surprised
it's more
me.
Difficult now.
Yeah, I can know? Imagine, right? Yeah. Like, you're not making any money on them. Why would you want them in there?
I understand
when it comes
that.
Down to literal seating and
yeah.
your occupancy and everything.
And a lot of that will have to do with, like, how big the place is
okay.
and how many tables they have when they have to make those kind of decisions. I think we're fortunate enough that we're large enough. I also think it's just part of our deal. Like, we're not going to tell the people that have been coming here forever that they can't come here with their families. It just yeah. doesn't feel good.
Yeah,
you know
it's important to...
But I think for smaller spots with, like, less indoor spaces and less tables, I get it. I understand why they're doing it. I'm glad that we're not feeling like we have to do that.
The only reason this sticks out in my mind is because it was not in this place, and I can't even remember where it was, which is a good thing. It means I've been out more than I thought. But it didn't affect me. Probably only because I wasn't there with my kids.
Sure.
So it didn't throw me off. It didn't, you know, I was like, oh, that's fine. But I didn't know that was a thing either right now, was that some establishments are discouraging it or flat
yeah.
out saying,
yeah.
please don't.
Yep.
So
I wonder how much of it is, too, as our kids are going back to school. And not to say that schools are cesspools for germs, but
they certainly are cesspools
right?
for germs.
Yeah. And you got to try to limit it as
yeah.
best as possible. You
yeah.
know, I think as parents, we understand that.
We both have kids basically since we opened Cannonball Creek.
Okay.
His oldest is right before we opened. But.
Uh-huh. You guys have never felt healthier since, right? Like ever
oh,
since you
my
have
God,
a kid.
Yeah, I haven't had a cold yet. Yeah.
So well rested.
My wife is a kindergarten teacher, and we have three kids, so
yeah.
it's a fucking cycle at yeah. my house. When she looks at me and realizes I'm the healthiest human specimen in the house, she gets pissed.
No, I would too. I mean, you're the least healthy one here at the table.
Basically,
and I'm overweight.
Basically designed to survive anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, well, you're a good, strong Schrader. That's why it is. Okay, so tell us about the kind of ideology or the mythos or what you were thinking would be the defining factor of Cannonball Creek when you opened up. Because,
all right. This always bores all the marketing people, right. and it bores all the media people.
Beer.
But the bottom goddamn line was just like, we really felt like we could make a better product than many, many other breweries could make. and that's what we focused on. Okay. So it's all about the beer for us. I know that's not sexy. I know it doesn't sell a story, but it's honestly has everything to do with who we are and what we do.
What part of the process? Sorry, I mean this is. But
he's got ADD.
What part of the? I know I get to talk to adults for the. You know, it's very rare in my life that I get to talk to an adult. My wife works downstairs all day. What part of the process did you think you could do better to make the beer better? We can get as technical as you want because I think we have those folks too.
To get better? Well,
first of all, to make it better.
Yeah. Like what sets?
I also want to clarify my comment and make sure that I'm not saying I think we're the best brewery in the world or anything like that. We've had a couple of those. 100% focused on the beer.
Right.
And so what that means is we're constantly innovating our recipes. So, for example, our house IPA, My Metter, which you might have had, I think, earlier, that beer is like one of the first four beers that we ever put on tap, and we've changed that recipe, I don't know, 20, 30 times.
Okay.
Just details, you know what I mean? Because Jonathan and I will drink it, and we'll be like, it would be a little bit better if we kind of went this direction, or would it be better if we went this direction? And so we'll play with it, and we'll play with it responsibly on a level to where we feel like we can get away with it, which we have, like nobody ever notices, but we're just constantly working on the details of our regular beers. We've also just kind of followed our passion, man. I mean, like, we weren't making lagers at the beginning. Part of that was because it didn't make sense, but part of it was because I wasn't making lagers then.
Yeah.
I got interested in lagers, and then it was suddenly like, holy shit, let's make a bunch of lagers. Well, that doesn't make sense. Who cares? Yeah. You know, and we do it anyway. So we're kind of constantly just following that muse or whatever, that thing that's always inspiring us. And I don't know, man. That's pretty much what we do. And it's all beer-centered. We try to make the rest of this thing work the best that we can.
Yeah.
But we don't have a theme or like a gimmick or anything like that. We're just literally trying to make everything the best we can on the day that we're making it. And that involves a lot of process, a lot of procedural changes, a lot of creativity, too, as far as beer making.
So. A lot of herding cats on your part.
A lot of talent over here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it when the
partners. Isn't that sweet?
When the partners get along. Somebody's going to owe somebody something here later.
No, we're honestly very fortunate.
Hey,
Hutch and I have known each other a long time, and we're still friends. Like,
it's true.
Our wives hang out, our kids hang out. Like, we live in the same neighborhood. Like, it's like,
how many other brewers live in your neighborhood, by the way? Because there's like this.
I'm guessing like 60 to 80.
I was going to say there's like a brewer's neighborhood up here in Golden that apparently all of you live in.
In our actual neighborhood.
In our neighborhood, I'm not too sure.
No, we're in the poor neighborhood. I think we should
all
get
right, you're
there.
Not in the core. You're not in the
Apple Ghetto.
We haven't quite made it to the the upper
what,
echelon.
I could go like eight ways on this, frankly.
No, so. I think we're just four guys who are happy to be drinking beer and talking to each other, quite honestly. We could go wherever we want. Where do you want to take this?
I don't know what I was getting at for a second there. I totally lost, frankly.
I appreciate the frankness of that, you know? So, like, the capacity and the willingness to just kind of tweak things a little bit. Are you head of quality, too, much as you are head of brewing operations?
Oh, 100%. Okay. Like, so everything that has anything to do with the beer here is myself and Jonathan, and that's it. We spend way too much time drinking 8:30 a.m. beers, talking about them. And I know that sounds fun, and sometimes it's not.
Yeah. No.
You have a bunch of shit to do back there that you still have to do no matter how many beers you drink or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, we really focus on what we've made and how it can be better, and we're never afraid to just move in a different direction. I think that direction is not obvious to people, and I think it's not like a something that everybody recognizes as being creative, but I think it's an incredibly creative process. It's just one that's very specific and kind of esoteric that doesn't get picked up on by everybody else. But
you guys are in the center of, you've already said it, 9 breweries. How can you not? I mean, you and Jonathan might be the head of quality control, but I mean, do you feel any pressure? Or, I mean, do you not have a steady stream of competition coming in here and saying, hey, something tastes different this week on the Malk, or something tastes different on the Mindbender? I mean,
very rarely.
Really? Okay.
But that's because we're doing it with an education. Like, the changes we're making are very educated changes, you know what I mean? And we're not just like taking the same beer with the same name and making it a different beer. We're tweaking details at this point, you know what I mean? And your average person honestly doesn't pick up on that, nor should they, because they're not here drinking it hopefully
every day,
you know, every
8:30
single day,
every day,
over and over, and analyzing it. I mean, we're definitely not just like whimsically changing beer. So,
all right. So, what about collaboration then? Being at the center of 9-ish breweries in the Golden Area Code. I mean, are you guys friendly on good terms?
We totally just did a collaboration for what would have been the, I don't know which one, 6th or 7th collaboration festival with the Colorado Brewers Guild.
Who did you collab with?
Every brewery in Golden.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And that's not the first time. We've done that two or three times.
Yeah, nice. We brewed a beer called Golden Strong.
Yeah. And it was right when the shit hit the fan.
Over yonder.
So, yeah.
Okay. And
every brewery.
During that day, there was at least one or two representatives of each brew, all 9 breweries.
Here, huh?
Including, well, Coors' representation was AC Golden.
Okay.
They totally
donated. It's a secret that they're actually Coors.
Right, yeah. Nobody knows that. Nobody knows that deal.
They're awesome dudes, by the way.
No, you know, that's a whole other tangent, right? But anybody that's in Golden or that's been in brewing or that's come from Coors and started their own or gone their own path has nothing but good things to say about Golden. And I can say for sure that we hear that out of Karen every time we talk to her.
Sure.
Up the road. Jason over at Ratio has the same thing to say. Yeah. We hear that pretty regularly. So, yeah, Coors is always on the good list as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
But that's great to hear again from another brewery.
And even more specifically, AC Golden, man. Those guys are awesome. They know what the hell they're doing, and they have a lot of resources, and they share those resources. Nothing but great things to say about them.
That's awesome. We have a dad on the lacrosse team that I coach for my 11-year-old son who does God knows what at Coors, but his kid gets more playing time every time a delivery shows up in the parking lot after practice. So I can't say enough good things about the perks of being a Coors employee. Not as a Coors employee. So, Coors, just they seem like they're pretty good guys. So,
I mean, Jonathan, quiet down back there.
Yeah, no shit. I'm
trying to.
This guy, dirty jokes, and now he's.
What are you working back there, Jonathan?
How did you, again, you know, the bitter beer, right? The good IPA, APA. How did that become. I know that you had said that's not your identity, right? But I think that a lot of popularity for this place has been kind of fed from that. Was that a kind of beer that you liked to make from day one, or again, it goes back to your process?
100%, like passion driven.
Okay.
Like, I mean, honestly, like, you didn't see it in Colorado very often. You're starting to see it now quite a bit more. But I was always inspired. So I've always been a huge hophead.
Yep.
Specifically from the beer, or specifically related to the beers made on the West Coast. And you could go to like a pizza port or something like that in San Diego, they'd have like 5 IPAs, and that was unheard of in Colorado. And I was like, I want to be that brewery because IPAs are the shit. Yeah. And it wasn't even about marketing. It was just about like, that's the beer I want to drink. And why would you not have multiple versions of it? And then everybody's buying them anyway, so it just works out. And so for us, I think it's just the beers that we wanted to drink were primarily really hoppy beers, you know? And that's kind of, you know, it really hasn't changed. I think we're pretty into the lagers too, but a lot of the lagers we're doing are pretty hoppy as well. So I think it's just always been a personal passion, and we've been lucky that the world shares that kind of love for hoppy beer.
That's cool. How much of a say do you have in what's brewed and what, I mean, obviously you're looking at the data of what people are drinking. In terms of decision-making, what kind of conversations are you two having in terms of what you're deciding to brew and how much of it, et cetera?
You know, honestly, Hutch comes to me if they're talking about doing a new, Project Alpha or something. He comes to me with things.
Do you guys use code names like that? Project Alpha?
That's actually a series of beers that we've made 40 of them,
Project
by the way.
Alpha 40. Did
you know that, Sam?
Tap shortly. Yeah.
I just assumed because I can read body language and tone because I teach fucking communication.
What do I know? I'm just a fucking
banker.
That being said, what you just said, like, we've gotten to the point where, honestly, I don't really have a whole lot of say in what him and Jonathan do in the brewery.
Okay.
But he comes to me and is like, hey, you down with trying this? Or let's try this.
I'm going to talk to him about it anyway because it just makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like I have to ask him if it's like, oh, I'm going to make another IPA, like I wouldn't come to him and is that okay?
He's not gonna wait.
But if I'm like, hey, dude,
scheduling it,
I think I'm gonna make like 9 IPAs in a row, and so we might be a little low on all those other beers. Then we're gonna have a conversation.
That's a discussion.
You know what I mean? And then he's usually gonna be like, cool.
This is a trust thing. I mean, you've already given him probably one of the highest accolades we could get from one business partner to another. He's a fucking clearly a good brewer, but you trust him.
Yeah, we trust each other.
That's a big word. Yeah, we trust each other.
Okay.
For sure.
Cool.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a lot of, I think there's a lot of people in this business that second guess one another.
We're fortunate to be in that position.
Yeah, people always talk about not going into business with your friends. It's worked out very, very well for us.
I think it's family. Don't go into business with your family.
Okay.
So we can't get married, Hutch?
Well, I told you.
No, there's the second longest. My plans for later after the podcast.
Second longest relationship I've ever been in, right here.
Yeah, no shit, right? So, tell us about what's going on with the new beers, because Shikes gave you guys some pub this week, and there's obviously a new trend, right? Yeah, you guys made it.
It showed a picture.
It was a picture of him and Jonathan.
Yeah.
Oh, that was it?
Hi, Jonathan.
It's not just
Sam got a free book, so we gotta
it's not just
Shikes.
Cannonball Creek.
Did he sign
right?
it for you?
He did. Right, good. But it's not just you guys, but I mean it's the entire kind of Front Range where people are making this new beer. What is this new beer? What does it mean, and why are we bringing this trend back?
Well, honestly, new beers at this point, or not necessarily new beers, but all the beers that have been made in the last 2 months or whatever, we've been gearing up for no Great American Beer Festival, but they're still doing the Great American Beer Festival competition.
Yeah.
And we have double the amount of entries that we've had for the last 4 or 5 years.
Do you like that?
It's great.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say it's great. It'd be great to have the Great American Beer Festival.
Would you have as many entries?
We wouldn't have as many
Why?
Entries.
Why is the barrier a little lower now? Like, I mean, is the ease, are the logistics easier?
Entering.
Oh, okay.
I think the BA that puts on the fest has all this giant part of what they do that they can't do now that it's not in person.
Yeah. So they're able to field more.
So they
everything.
Can just kind of throw their energy into the competition, I think.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And it's not unheard of. I mean, if you're old like us, you used to be able to enter 10 beers a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But for the last, I don't know, 6-7 years, it's been 4 or 5 beers apiece.
So what did they open it
so
up
they're
to?
They're like, hey, you
10?
Can do 10.
We entered 10
okay.
beers.
You guys maxed it.
Yeah, why not?
You didn't start like...
Not that we're competitive.
Cannonball 2 LLC just to spin off an extra 10? Or?
No, Cannonball Run 2. Cannonball Creek
we're
Run 2.
We're going to try and keep the streak going.
Starring...
Is what we're
going
to do.
Who's in the sequel of Cannonball Run?
The original one?
No, the sequel.
Yeah, we're gonna have to.
There was another. Who
defer
was
to Jason
oh,
B. Stengel.
Two?
Yeah,
I don't know. About
I
that.
Barely recall that.
Cannonball Run 2. I'm not. I don't know.
This is Sam's.
Burt Reynolds
Sam's
is
wired,
in the first
so.
One, so that's all you need to know.
Which guy was? Was I Burt Reynolds on that, or was I the other
no,
guy?
No, you were the other guy.
Dumb
Dell.
Seriously?
Yeah.
The Damn same it. Ones. It was. Yeah, they were all. Everybody was there.
I did not connect.
Jamie. Well, Jamie Farr was in the first one.
I thought you were gonna say Jamie Foxx.
Terry Savalas.
I believe Terry Bradshaw was in the first.
He was in the first one. He was. You're right.
Former Raider.
Jeez. Detour.
No, he wasn't.
We went on a detour in terms of styles, but I want to ask you guys, because we're kind of on this. What do you think about the state of the BA? Just the BA specifically. Like, you're not the first ones to tell us that it's great, you know, as a brewery to be able to enter 7-8 beers, right? I mean, Chris and Dina at Odyssey, having talked to them, like, they have a lot more flexibility and kind of openness for this.
My first reaction is the BA is probably struggling.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, we know that. They've laid off significant members.
Yeah, we don't like to address that. And I mean, we do, but.
We address everything.
They're in a tough spot.
Yeah.
Which is why I think it's even more important. Like, honestly, like, I feel like they are a great organization, and I feel like they have been beneficial. Like, being a member of the BA has been a good thing for us. It's something we've supported since before we opened this place, even working at Mountain Sun. And so, yeah, hell yeah, we're going to do the JBF as big as we can do it right now, because they need everything they can get right now, and they've had our back for a long time, and why would we turn our back on them, you know?
What do you expect of the BA or of the Colorado Brewers Guild in this moment, like as brewers, as business owners, and you can I'm not asking for criticism. What purpose do you expect them to serve for you? well, right now?
I mean, I think we're both ready to answer that question. I think the first thing I would say is BA and the CBG, the Colorado Brewers Guild, two different organizations that obviously have similar functions, one being local and one being more national. But
my boys,
I can't not answer that question without just first saying that the Colorado Brewers Guild has kicked fucking ass during this COVID-19 thing. So there's what I expect, and then there's what they did, which is beyond what I would have expected, which is being 100% on top of everything as it was changing in the moment, constantly pumping out the current information, constantly talking to people that had gone through somebody that had a COVID case at their brewery. This is what you do. This is how you handle it. Like, those guys couldn't have been better at the time when they were making the least amount of money off of us like we all are right now. It's been a struggle. But that organization has just been amazing.
Shout out to Shawnee.
Yeah,
he's been
Shawnee's
great.
Shout out
to Shawnee.
Shawnee and
sure.
the board, man. I mean, they're
yeah,
crushing.
And the board, yeah. All those
really
gents and gals.
And absolutely to Shawnee.
Yeah, you're totally
that's
right.
That's how I was going to follow up.
I couldn't be more impressed, man, honestly, with the way those guys have handled this entire situation. And because they're getting the same information we are, but they're getting the people that are being like, what do we do? Yeah. And they're like, shit, today you do this, tomorrow you do this. But they're organized, they're calm, and they've really, I think, done a fantastic job handling this whole thing.
What do you want from them moving forward, right? As we kind of, we're obviously not even close to being out of this.
Right.
I mean, we're getting ready for another wave.
If I could get more of the same, I'd be incredibly happy and satisfied.
Okay.
You guys
seriously,
are in a unique position.
They're leading the industry right now, and they're telling us what to do.
Whatever he says, I should get.
I would. I want somebody's dealer's choice as well.
Okay. Oh, it's featherweight.
Yeah, I'll have a dealer's
featherweight
choice.
American Pale Ale.
I'll do one of those.
I mean, three-time GABF. And
well, we're
World
talking
Beer
about
Cup
the GABF. Let's
winner.
Have a GABF gold medal winner.
Really enjoying this, by the way.
This
starting to heat up as we drink more beer. You know, we get a little looser.
Well, have you ever had that happen on one of these before?
No, never.
No,
it's always the last 20 minutes. I think people just fast forward to 20 minutes.
Let me ask this question. The GABF, and more specifically here in Denver, Golden, and Colorado, the Brewers Guild, I think, is going to be pivotal moving forward to keep business, driving business towards breweries as the year moves on. You may not be quite as affected by that because you're in a space where you've got a fairly large serving area. You've got a good outdoor seating area. But what do you want to see from the Brewers Guild, and what do you hope to achieve bigger and maybe more beyond what they've already done through September 2nd, 2020?
Like,
straight up, is it more delivery? Is it more expanded sales? Is it more, I mean.
What's the lobbying arm of CBG and BA supposed to do over the next 6 months?
That's an intelligent question.
Well, so what you're asking is what's going to happen, though? Yeah, I mean,
and that's what
and
we
that,
don't know.
That's the fucking problem.
But we see it on the East Coast, though, right? I mean, we see these Brewers Guilds from Florida, Maryland, really pushing and saying, all right, or New York in particular, right? I understand Shawnee's doing a lot of things by herself. The board doesn't have a lot of, you know, power, man and woman power. What do you want? Like, what are the things that need to happen over the next 6 months that we don't want reversed? Is it beer delivery? Is it, you know?
It's all of that shit. Okay. I mean, it's literally like, I feel like what they've done thus far is putting us in the class. I'm careful about how I word it, to be honest with you, because I think they're giving us the benefits of being restaurants, not bars, and we're breweries. We're different.
But
they have pushed and they have succeeded in giving us things that your average bar owner doesn't have right now.
Do they
now.
Need to push further?
Yeah.
I mean, I talked to...
I mean, yes, but I don't... I mean, I feel like they're doing that. I don't know that there's something right now that we need that we're not getting. I think a larger brewery owner might beg to differ with me. but... No, man. I mean, what I'm wanting them to do is just continue doing what they're doing, which is to push for our rights to be as expansive as possible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, the delivery, all of that stuff is extremely important. We never took part in delivering beer or anything like that. Am I glad that Colorado breweries are allowed to do that and have been allowed to do that, hell yeah, you know? Yeah. It kind of depends on what happens again.
What about a beer drinker, that's what I want to, like...
Yeah, I just want to
I want you guys to make it, you know, like, in a lot of ways. Does that make sense, Jay? Like,
it makes sense to me.
This is the source where this comes from. God damn it. Try to just limit the barriers that you guys have to succeeding and making
sure.
it through this. If,
sure.
I mean, if that makes sense, which is, you know, limiting the power of you know, distribution.
What do we got here? And, this is...
I don't want to say, you know, liquor stores, but... I mean, I understand there are some liquor stores that don't really benefit craft beer, and there are some that do, you know, that are willing to put on, you know, a case, and that's it. And
right.
So that's what I would – I mean, I guess I think that's what we were kind of asking. Is,
sure.
Is, God, I wish we kind of twist some arms a little bit.
I think it's a, I think it's a different answer from every single brewery yeah. we're talking to, frankly. And the reason I bring it up is because I talked to a fairly large production-scale brewery that is still classified as craft that doesn't offer food and is not – set up in a way that's convenient for them to offer food. So they're just not open to taproom sales or to-go sales.
Yeah.
And part of that might be...
In Colorado?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a really easy thing to
I feel like
accomplish
it's
under the rules.
I feel like it is, too.
Not...
Yeah.
I'm not in their position. I don't even know who you're talking about. It doesn't matter. But I do know that under the rules that have been established, like, for example, if we didn't have food trucks, we just call Jimmy John's and be like, hey, will you deliver? They'll be like, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
We're open.
Yeah.
We're good.
Well, and that's...
It's not that hard.
I mean...
Like, I mean, I don't know what they're dealing with. But for us, that's... It's that simple.
Yeah. It's...
It's
so
not prohibitive.
At the
Even
end of the
though
day...
we do have showing on site tonight.
I saw that. Is that Eddie, every day or is that just yeah. one
get
day?
Get your wings.
Yeah. How do you get food trucks out here? Are you you got. I'm sure
they just drive out 6th Avenue and they take a right.
I'm gonna start like this. The food trucks are. We have like a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
Because we don't do our own food, we need food trucks to be here to help.
It's like a keep parasitic
people in
the seats, relationship.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, symbiotic
no,
sounds a little better. I don't know.
I like that more.
Parasitic?
Yeah. Who's the parasite? You know, I don't even know.
But
who's
yes,
the,
no.
Who's the name of that other creature that attaches onto a shark, but it's not a parasite, but
Venom?
It like, feeds on it?
I'm a Marvel.
Oh, oh.
So,
I'm a Marvel
look
guy.
At this guy.
So, yeah, I'm not a.
But no, the food trucks
I don't
are,
know. Where, I wasn't talking about.
It
I
really,
don't have it.
It really works very, very well because we used to work at Mountain Sun with the brew pub option. Oh, Superman.
We just learned something about each other.
Oh, yeah, wow. I've got nothing. I've got a Prince Albert.
Yeah, this guy's got a few.
Yeah, he's got some work going on over here.
That's fresh, by the way.
That
yes,
fresh.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have a symbiotic relationship.
It is.
Sam's
I mean,
trying
we
to detract from the fact that he
trucks.
Has no
they
tattoos.
They don't charge us. We have a fair trade kind of thing going on. Yeah. They feed our staff. You know, they can take growlers. But it helps this model.
Yeah.
With us trying to not do the Mountain Sun thing, you know, not trying to do the brew pub side,
Hutch's
which I think
too.
Works. It works, but that's not what we wanted to do.
To his point, I mean, food is like a very gray area to keep you guys open, right? Like it shouldn't be that big a deal. And a brewery or an establishment that's struggling to make that work.
Right.
Shame on them as far as I'm concerned.
I mean,
frankly.
I don't know everybody's situation, but
right.
I don't think it's that hard based on the rules that we have.
Some of
been
it's
granted.
Just plain old mismanagement.
I mean, we're not, dude. I mean, it's way harder for a bar right now than it is for a brewery.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah,
the Brewers Guild
bars
doing their job, you know? And all you have to do is partner with somebody, which could literally, like, it could be Domino's.
Yeah.
You just call Domino's and be like, hey,
it could be
7-Eleven. Yes, we always deliver.
Could
cool.
be 7-Eleven.
It actually can't, but that's
can't
a whole other like.
Shit,
show.
Really?
Yeah,
no?
No, it can't.
It's got to be Jimmy John's or.
What was the reasoning behind that? It's got to be like a.
Like a delivery? They can't bring it in?
They have
or?
To be able to deliver it
they
in.
They have to be able
yeah.
to deliver.
Yep. They
that the,
that's what the guidelines
yeah.
were
Fine.
In June.
Whatever.
We
but again,
re-
you have a million
yeah.
places that
sometime.
Deliver food.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're in. Know, bumfuck, like it's
yeah.
not that hard to find somebody that agrees
I could,
to deliver.
I could think of a couple of those places, but.
Well, and that's the position we're in. It's today is 90 degrees, and it's beautiful out, and people can sit outside, or not, it's not 90 now. people, what we're trying to prepare for is October.
Right, November, December.
How do we have only 50 people sit inside and not have the seating outside?
How much is it going to cost you guys to vent gas lines and run heaters and all that bullshit?
Well, how much do we
What an interesting time to put that kind of capital into something like that,
if the requirements
change. You know what I mean?
As a lender, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right?
What is the plan, I guess, for when it cools off? Because, again, we love Golden, but it gets a little colder here, right, than it does downtown Denver.
They're going to really, really ramp up the delivery service.
Do you just put in, I mean, do you buy a bunch of, or rent a bunch of heaters, put them outside?
Like, I mean, we built the structure around the patio. We're going to plan to put some heaters out there, somehow try and enclose it. But at some point, like, we can only have 50 people in here. If we enclose the outside, how does that work?
Well, you know, and again, never mind spending a shit ton of money.
We got to follow what
decreased revenue. Like,
yeah, who do you guys answer to? CDC, Golden.
Our first answer with our licenses is the state of Colorado.
State, yeah, first. Yeah.
That's how we have our liquor licenses. We have a wholesale license and a manufacturing license. So those are our. That's who we have to.
That's who we're regulated
comply
by.
To.
Just looking out the windows, who owns this shit right here?
Where it's cut is our landlord. Where it's not is the city of Golden.
Yeah. Well, city of Golden, you're on notice. Bite.
They did come clean Jay up a dead Schrader. Deer, and that was pretty cool because it stunk.
Oh,
really bad.
A dead deer? Yeah. That should be a beer name, I think.
You guys have been in this for a while.
It's our second dead deer, by the way.
As owners of this brewery and prior to that, years at Mountain Sun, how do we come out of this? Not just in Colorado, but across the country. What does this do to craft breweries? Because I mean, it sounds like you are just as aware of what's going on as Jay and I are. You know, summer is kind of summer. It's going to get cold, and we're going to go back to, you know, in the Midwest. It's going to people are going back inside, right? And it's going to be shitty again in
a
couple
months.
It's
going to be nasty, right?
You and I spend a lot of time outside doing this in the winter.
Colorado's unique.
Well,
I mean, the rest of the country really can't. I don't think
any of us are going to be able to.
What does this do to the industry? And I mean, if you had to, you know,
the industry nationwide, or are you talking about in Colorado?
Nationwide, both.
Because I think for Colorado, we get to say what you just said, which is we're lucky. We get way more sunshiny days in the winter that are not that intolerable,
right,
where people will absolutely sit outside and drink beer.
Yeah.
That's an advantage. Nationwide, I think maybe we just, I think it rattles everything up and shakes everything up, and I think that the strong survive, maybe, is the unfortunate way of saying that. Like, I don't know.
Are you guys okay with that?
Well, it should be about the beer.
Right.
At some point, it should be about the product.
So,
like any industry.
So if your brewery doesn't survive in bumfuck, right, or Golden, Colorado, is it because of rules and regulations, the state, the CDC, or is it because your juice isn't as good as the next guy's?
I think you can't isolate those two answers.
No, absolutely not. I'm genuinely curious.
I think that that's a black and white, and there's a lot of gray happening here.
I was curious.
My hope and kind of our vision and our plan behind this whole thing is that, you know, you put the work into doing something that's at an elevated level and it will survive. But I understand that's not the only thing that makes a business survive.
You don't assume that's going to be the case.
No, man. And right now, you're adding in rules and regulations that are absolutely abnormal, but they're there for everybody.
Is it partnering with a restaurant and saying, okay, you're going to order your Indian food and you also get a 4-pack of Cannonball Creek? I mean, is that the... I want to know what the future looks like, and I'm very interested. And I'm not saying
well, we don't know.
I know.
That's the thing.
It's a rhetorical question. I mean, yeah.
We've discussed options or possibilities, but we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know what the next 6 months is going to hold.
Are you scared?
I mean, these don't look like two scared guys.
It's stressful.
No, I'm absolutely not scared.
Everybody's stressed out at this point.
Yeah.
You know what's scary? If you want to talk about scared, It's if you suddenly are put on a non-level playing field with everybody else. And the way that that happens is if you are forced to close when other people are allowed to be open.
Yeah.
That's fucking scary.
Yeah.
So,
or you decide to close for whatever reason when other people are open.
A multi,
that to me is scary.
A multi-global brewery.
Together, I'm not that scared.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't like it. I want it to be better and easier, but I'm not afraid. I am scared if for some reason Cannonball Creek is like suddenly like we're to go only and the rest of the world is open.
Yeah.
That's scary to me.
Yeah.
And that could happen.
I never even
with us just being
that.
Responsible.
Well, that doesn't work well.
I mean, I've thought about it from a retail standpoint, not beer, but just business, small business versus box business. But let's face it, beer is small business versus big box as well.
No, it is. It is. I mean, it's that's what I fear, you know, to be totally frank, is in the next 2 months, 3 months, that the, you know, the essential businesses are not breweries.
I don't want to roll into the darkness of winter.
You know,
they're
the King Supers of the world, and who puts their beer on those shelves? It's not a lot of our friends, quite
I'm
honestly.
I'm not drinking AB InBev just to survive the winter.
Exactly. You know, have you? What? We should just drink and you know stop recording, but.
We do.
Are you
we
canning
do
it more beer? Are you
not
bought
yet.
Not yet. Is that a plan? What are you thinking?
It's a actively discussed topic. Mm-hmm. It's not a plan yet.
Okay.
Tell us about the...
Because I'm not confident that it's going to be a necessity.
Yeah.
But if it does become one, it's something we've thought about and talked about, and it's something that we can do.
Okay.
It's not our best case scenario. Yeah. That's why we're not doing it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, in a normal kinda world...
Kind of lucky we don't have to right now. Still.
It's awesome.
You know? So,
in a normal world, we are able to sell... all the beer we make that these guys can produce off the tap wall.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the goal.
But the world ain't normal.
But our
we'll
business
see.
Model has changed.
Yeah.
Clearly, you know.
Are you filling a lot of, you know, crowlers?
So we do 64-ounce
the big
growlers,
ones.
The glass growlers. But we
I didn't the know they still made those.
Thing is blown
What's
up
that?
For us.
Mike Wood, you've probably
seen
my father-in-law.
I didn't know they still made glass growlers.
He comes in
Tell us about the fuck, I don't even know what you call it. It just looks like hand grenades stacked up, ready to go at the bar here.
Crowlers.
You guys have crowlers.
Well, we can't serve anybody at the bar.
So you might as well use
the
it.
The guidelines.
Yeah. Okay.
Storage. So those are all, like,
I mean,
one
I'm
box
pretty sure I
is...
ordered a beer at a bar. Whatever.
Well, no. So what they do is they different. Pre-label them. They
no,
pre-label
no, I
them.
Love it. I'm just impressed.
Yeah.
You guys are maximizing
difference.
Well,
our staff is fantastic.
To go
was
a
our staff
was
is fantastic.
A necessary thing, obviously, when everything shut down, and it's still because it's kind of a continuum where like you still probably have a certain segment of society that doesn't really want to come in and sit down here, or maybe they want to sit down outside, but they don't want to sit down the way that we're sitting down.
Or they want to
and
drink it
fine.
In the parking lot of a 7-Eleven.
But there's some people that still that's possible. May or may not have done that once or twice
some
in my life.
Yelp.
But either way, I think to-go sales are still like a little bit more elevated than they were before all this shit started. So
this is easy. This is efficient.
Well, we
this
can't
is...
use the bar anyway.
Yeah, that's
Last question.
Really?
Yeah, we should.
Okay.
Because I'm enjoying this conversation. Shut it off because I got more
Justin
important.
B. Stengel's ready to take this.
What have you learned from this?
Unfiltered after hours.
I actually have to give a shout out to.
Bring him over.
I literally have.
As long as they're like disease-free. Disease-free.
He's got a fucking Badger shirt on. I went to Iowa.
I don't know.
That is
from Wisconsin.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I know. I can smell you from here. That's why.
when I got married 20 years ago,
so much for making friends.
I had two guys stand up for me, and those two are sitting at that
That's crazy.
Table over there. Yeah,
did they hold her? Did they keep her in the church? Was that?
What's that?
Did they keep
no,
her in
I'm
the church?
Still, oh, no. Dutch is older. Dutch is a little older than me.
What did you learn from this, then? Well, what have you learned from this? Not the podcast interview, because we've all learned nothing.
We don't ever educate.
I mean, from the last 8 months. What have you learned?
We have to be
roll with the fucking punches, man.
We have to go day by day.
Yeah.
We have to continue to communicate.
Okay.
We have to continue to try and do what we can do to be safe.
Plan ahead, but not over-plan ahead, either.
We have to continue to make... kick-ass beer. Like, we have to continue to do what we've always done and adapt to what's happening.
trust in the process, right? Yep. Trust in what has made us successful thus far. Plan ahead without over-planning. And be fucking flexible, man.
Yeah.
This shit changes every day, and it has changed every day since this whole thing has started. And you can either get caught up in that and blame somebody else, or you can just kind of take a look at what's happening and do your best and plan for the future without fucking any guarantees.
I'm going to make Tanya listen to this episode.
You both said it, though.
The last minute or so.
Continue to make good beer.
Yeah.
Jason, Brian.
That's all we got.
Thank you guys so much. Come to Cannonball Creek because this is honestly one of my favorite beers in the world.
Yeah, what are we finishing with here,
just,
Jason?
Just
well,
any
I have
of
no
your
idea what
beers.
You guys are drinking. Well,
we let Stengel
I love it.
Wheel.
I've been here numerous times, and this is what Mike Wood fills up with, and it's always there at Christmas.
If Mike Wood loves it, it's good for the soul.
He's an asshole.
Thank you guys for having us.
Yeah. Father-in-law, I love
you.
You
just call him an asshole.
Yeah, he won't listen to this. But the guy worked for AB for a long time and farmed their hops, so he knows what
empire.
He's doing. Yes, exactly.
Can you count, suckers?
Thank you guys so much.
Cheers.
Take care, everybody. Bye.